Bertie talks to the leader in association with the Guardian Voluntary Sector Network and becauseitsgood.org.
Hello, I'm Bertie Boredon. I've been working in the not-for-profit sector for over 10 years. In this podcast, I talk to chief executives, managers and innovators of the UK voluntary sector. I ask them about their role, their motivations and the challenges they're facing. Welcome to Talk to the Leader. My guest is a qualified counsellor who trained at Regent's College London and the Westminster Pastoral Foundation. She worked with voluntary sector agencies providing counselling to young people for several years before establishing a charity in 1994. Her vision was to provide school-based early intervention to help children, families and schools respond to children's emotional and mental health needs. She works full-time for the organisation in an entirely voluntary capacity. In June 2007, she was awarded an OBE for services to children and families, and in 2009, she received an honorary Doctor of Law degree from the University of East London. In 2010, she was awarded the Beacon's Judge Special Prize for Outstanding Philanthropic Achievement. My guest is Benny Revson, OBE, Chief Exec of The Place to Be. Hello, Benny.
Good morning.
Could you tell us a bit more about the work of The Place to Be?
The work takes place in schools, and we are a counselling service that supports children in a number of different ways, and we support the parents and we support the teachers. There are thousands of children who go to school every day that are troubled by their life, by what's happening in their home, by what they've witnessed, by what they've lost. And they go to school and they're unable to access their learning. So we're in school supporting the emotional well-being of children so that we prepare them and they become ready to learn so that the teachers can carry out their main task, which is to teach.
So the place to be, the charity you set up, could you tell me about the history, about where did this idea came from?
I was working with adolescents and students in a university. And I was working in Wandsworth Youth Agency and UCL. And the young people aged between 18 and 25 were coming with me to see me with a range of different problems, difficulties, emotions, some of them extremely heightened emotions. And they wanted a very quick answer. And over the time that I was working with them, I thought if only I could reach them sooner, because then we had a chance of the problem not becoming so embedded and really making young people choose unhealthy avenues. So wanted to see whether we could help them as children as opposed to adults.
And did you have any experience of charity work before setting up your charity?
Many years ago, I went along to volunteer and I was working with adults with mental health difficulties many years ago. But that was as a volunteer. That certainly wasn't about running a charity. So I can say, no, I didn't have any experience of running charity, but I had an understanding about sound ethical business principles. So that's helped me think about how to found and set up an organisation that is ethical and professional.
And how long did it take from the day you had the initial thought until the day you sat in the chief executive chair?
It existed as part of another charity. And I discovered it in 1993. It was part of an organisation called the Family Service Unit. So the name already existed. And then when I took down several people to look at it, it was in a school in South London. In 1993, they said, good idea, set it up as a charity. That took me about 18 months. We got official charitable status in September 1994.
And was there a time when you thought, that's it, I'm the chief executive, now I'm going to run this organisation? Or was that more an organic process?
I had little idea about what it meant, fortunately. I just knew I had a vision and I had a passion and I had the energy, but I really didn't know what it was that I was setting out to achieve, other than if it proved to be effective and made a difference to children and could demonstrate that it did, then I knew that I wanted it to reach as many children as possible. So I had a vision of it becoming a national organisation, but only if we could evidence that it was good.
And I will show my ignorance as a Frenchman, but I'm really intrigued about your OBE. Could you tell me more about the process of getting this
recognition? I have no idea. It arrived in a letter. And I was driving along with my partner and I opened the letter and it said something, something, something. Could you let us know if you accept this? And I went, I wonder what this is all about. So I have no idea what the process is, though I understand it's about people who believe in you, who recommend or present your name. So there must be some people out there who thought I deserved it.
And did that change your life?
Not at all. I had not at all. I think what it's done is fortunately given some credibility to the organisation. That's the important thing. It's good for the organisation.
And what have been the biggest changes you've witnessed in the 17 years you've been working at The Place to Be?
Every year, every day there is a change because we see ourselves as a learning organisation. So if you genuinely want to get the best and do the best and have the best for children, then you have to learn by your mistakes, by your experience. Every day involves some change. So we started off with maybe 2,000 children. We're now with 58,000 children. We started off just in South London, in Southwark, where we are today, and we're now in 20 regions across England, Scotland and Cardiff. So there are a lot of geographic changes, and there are many, many more children who are involved, and we also now support teachers and parents directly, and we have a whole range of training programmes, including foundation and diploma and masters.
So you started at a time when charities didn't have a website. To which extent do you feel the internet and social media have changed the way you operate?
That's a good question. It's certainly, learning how to use a computer certainly changed my life because I didn't know how to use one when I first started, though I could type. I think that the accessing information is incredible. So not only can it give us information, but we can use a website to raise the profile. I think we haven't yet maximised that opportunity, and I think we're still learning about social media, though we are aware how important it is. But if anyone has any ideas about how to help us become really good at it, we're open to anything.
Do you use Twitter?
I do, not as regularly, and I'm not very good at just tweeting irrelevant information. But I do think that sometimes there are issues, political issues or social issues that press my buttons. So I will tweet them. So if anybody's into tweeting, do let me know what you think of my tweet. And I'm happy to take lessons on it as well.
What's your Twitter username?
At The Place to Be.
How big is The Place to Be?
The Place to Be. OK, we have 240 employees, over 700 volunteer counsellors. We're in 170 schools, so it's a lot bigger than it was 17 years ago.
What about your income?
Our income is just over £8 million.
Do you feel the impact of the recession?
We are beginning to feel the impact of the recession, but importantly, it's our schools that are beginning to feel it because there are budget cuts that are affecting the schools' budgets. And schools that are not necessarily in very deprived areas, but in areas where there is a social need, but an emotional social need, those schools are being affected because they're not benefiting from the pupil premium. So it is beginning to bite.
And at the same time, we're hearing about the big society. Do you think there will be some opportunities for The Place to Be?
There must always be opportunities for The Place to Be. So we're waiting for them all to walk in the door and grab them. I think that what we do is becoming easier for people to understand, especially after the riots. So people are beginning to understand that the impact on poverty, on a recession, on unemployment really does play a part in children's emotional well-being, in their mental health, as it does with their parents.
How do you manage innovation?
We look at need. Every range of service, every service that we have has developed out of, we've been innovative. For example, we have a self-referral service where children actually can refer themselves as opposed to an adult referring themselves. That started way back in 1997 because we felt we weren't accessing all children. And then we realised that actually parents needed some support. And then we recognised that professionals needed more intense training on how to work and engage with children in schools. So each time we develop a service, we recognise that it requires either training or research or evidence. And so we're constantly looking at improving what we do. It plays a very important part.
Are there any big opportunities you regret to have missed or were too late to grab?
I'm sure there are. I suppose the only thing that I regret is not raising the profile of The Place to Be sooner. People still say to us, oh, I've never heard of The Place to Be. And yet we are told that we are the organisation that is actually meeting the individual needs of thousands of children more than any other organisation. So, and we have a lot of evidence to demonstrate that. So I suppose that's a regret that I didn't raise the profile of what we're doing sooner.
And what do you do to raise the profile of your charity?
We come and speak to podcasts. We tweet.
That's
there you go. We tweet. We have media coverage. We have Livy, who's our head of communications. So we're out there. But what we don't want to do is compromise the integrity of our clients. So we have to be very cautious not to exploit the young people or the parents because they're very vulnerable. So we have an integrity when we're approaching our work and how to share it with the wider public. But we're always looking for opportunities to share good practice and to help people recognise the importance of being there for children sooner rather than later.
And what do you see as the main challenges in the next few years?
Maintaining quality, meeting the needs of children, and not letting children and parents down. So constantly improving the relationship that we have with the adults, the children in the schools, and also to sustain the services when the economic downturn continues to bite.
And my last question, if you were not chief executive of the place to be, what would you do?
Spend a lot of money shopping, probably, so it would be a disaster.
Thank you very much for your time.
That was Talk to the Leader with Bertie Boroydon. To find out more about this podcast and how to subscribe, go to nfp.org.uk.